and welcome to How to Be Successful with me, Vicky Paul. I'm an intuitive, artist, energy healer, and author, and I'm on a mission to help you live with more joy, purpose, and meaning. How to Be Successful is a straight-talking, heartfelt, and enlightening podcast full of soul-centered wisdom, home truths, life-changing insights, and free-flowing conversations with some of the most inspiring, knowledgeable, and honest voices in well-being, spirituality, self-love, and personal development. It's a show for people who are no longer satisfied chasing society's version of success because they're ready to embrace their gifts and thrive on their own terms.
My guest today is Kim Scheller, a meditation expert, energy healer, and mindset coach who has helped over 3,000 clients, including corporates, groups, and individuals, to tap into their gifts and their talents by enhancing their infinite energy and to release the blocks that are holding them back. She set up a company called My Mind, and I love this, My Infinite Energy, M-I-E Mind, and conducts monthly sessions, 21-day manifestation marathons, full moon meditations by the beach, sounds amazing, online courses and meditations for women on insight. She has her own podcast called Say More and has published a subconscious priming book called The Little Blue Book, which I have here and use every day, but we'll talk about that later in the podcast, to help you set daily intentions with the purpose of helping you create your life. And I love this. She believes that our outer world is a reflection of our inner world. And for that, we have to flip the way that we normally do things. So she wants us to lead from our energy first, then our mind, and then our body by taking action. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vicky.
I love it. I want to just jump straight in because most people listening to this know that meditation is actually really good for us, but we all struggle to make it a daily practice. Even though, for example, we can't be bothered brushing our teeth twice a day, we do. Why do you think people struggle to make meditation part of their daily practice?
Because we've just not been exposed to it. If you and I woke up every morning and meditated, our kids are going to grow up thinking that that's a practice like brushing your teeth. But when you're trying to imbibe something new that was not part of your subconscious, you know, programming, that excess effort has to come in to say, you know, have a little to-do list, have a little group that you do it with, join the, you know, something that makes you get onto it and you're led into it. And that's once you, the beauty is, you know, Vicky, once you do it and you have that visceral memory that this makes me feel so good, my energy is elevated, everything starts flowing, then you just have to choose it.
Mm-hmm. You started meditating in the 10th grade by, was it Jose Silva method? To be honest, I'd never heard of this until I obviously read your bio and Googled it. And what I love about it is that it's not just about working on your mind. It's actually about working on the sort of psychic abilities and our intuition. So could you explain a wee bit more for people like me who maybe haven't heard of this method and how it differs to normal meditation practice?
Absolutely. The Silva method is actually called the Silva mind control, which at this point in time, I've moved from mind control because what I believe and lead people into is soul-led life, right? But that's a wonderful place to begin because in the Silva mind control, you actually understand and experience how powerful your subconscious mind is, how powerful making that intention is, how powerful visualization is. And when you start doing all of it, it automatically opens up your clairsentience, your clairsense, your clairvoyance. And I actually started that, you know, the silver mind control, Vicky, was because my clairvoyance was very high. I would see ghosts and spirits. And as you know, a kid in your 10th grade and you're just getting into college, you think you're really crazy. And it was fun. I never ran away from it. I was like, okay, I see your grandmother. She's going to pass. And something passed. And like, you know what? They said that they've kept this document here. And it was fun. But you can't be walking around with that kind of access without a teacher telling you what to control, how to channel it. And because it got so much for me, I stopped meditating. And it was only later in years that I started accessing meditation every time I wanted to manifest. Till I realized that That's, you know, like you shared the part of the bio that was me living in the inverted way, that I was running to meditation when everything was like flat out. Mm-hmm. That's not the way to live.
Which I think most people can resonate with, that we are in this very physical construct where we have a process of how we live our lives, and you can argue how that's come about. But as you say, we tend to turn to self-help methods when things have got so bad that they're now interfering with how we perceive we like to live our lives. So just to go back to meditating when you're young, and I agree with you, you know, everything starts in childhood, and all these positive practices from eating healthily and exercising and being kind to your friends and neighbors and peers, et cetera, starts in the home. But for any busy parents who are struggling to juggle work life and family life, how would they start to incorporate something like this into their daily kids' routine in amongst the homework, the cleaning your room, et cetera, et cetera?
There are two easy things to do, and that is the power of vibrations and then the power of the subconscious priming. So coming to vibrations, if somebody does not have the time to meditate and sit down or be led into a guided meditation, put on the music. There is so much of research back time and again that certain vibrations create certain results. So if somebody wants to manifest, they want to feel confident, they want to feel, you know, a little pumped up, start your morning in your house with that kind of music. And if you want something specific, then go and put in the right words. Like, for example, removing negativity is a 741. Creating, manifesting is the 369. And I think there are so many different words. You just Google and you'll find it. So that's one part of it. Or just put a good playlist on that uses that energy, you know, to create that. The second is subconscious priming. You know, Vicky, everything around us is getting consumed by our mind. And that consumption is creating kind of the rules within the subconscious mind. Now, the subconscious mind is brilliant, but it's silly at the same time, because it's not asking your permission that, hey, do you want this? You know, it's not even having the conversation with you and saying, I'm going to make this part of your life. So that's the basis on what marketing works, that they send you the same information 100 times and then you buy it because you've seen it and you're like, yeah, because I see it, I like it. So similarly, in families, you just put up pictures, or you put up words, you put up, you know, things that you connect with, whether it's love, it's peace, or putting in your child's bathroom that you're safe at home, you know, mm-hmm. tell me anything, or you're safe to, you're loved, etc. These things, you put it there, the mind is consuming it, and then it becomes part of one's reality.
I love that. That is such, even for adults. I mean, I know they talk about putting post-it notes on your fridge if you're on a diet, or duffing your mirror when you're doing your makeup in the morning. But you and I both know, having written books, that words have, and we're communicators, that's our jobs, that words have such tremendous power. And I want to have a quick chat about your book, which I love. And we caught up in Dubai in September and you gave me this, which was very kind. And I have to say, it's on my desk and I use it every day. And for those who are not watching on YouTube, when I eventually get this up, it's kind of like a spiral bound book that comes with a sort of structured cardboard frame. And I love to use it when I turn it upside down, and you'll see this in the video, and all the little pages, now they're quite stiff cardboard, I use them like I'm shuffling cards.
Yeah.
And that's how I pick my daily intention. And what I love about it is, even though I work in the industry, this is very much part of who I am, I do get consumed with external influences. I mean, at the moment, we've got a lot of stuff going on with the financial thing in the UK, and mortgage rates are going up, and, you know, the interest rates, we've got high inflation, et cetera, et cetera. It's very difficult, because at the end of the day, although we're spiritual, energetic beings, we're still physical human beings having a human experience. So we are going to get knocked off course, gently in some occasions, a bit more firmly at other times. And what I love about this is, you forget some mornings to set those intentions, even if you have your regular practice. And oftentimes when you have manifestations or intentions, and I don't know if you can agree with this, they tend to be the same and you repeat them, and you can often go into that automatic pilot where you say the words, but you're not really feeling them. And that's what I love about this little blue book, is that it's something fresh. They're somebody else's words, but you connect with them. So how did that all come about?
The little blue book was a baby of 2020. That was a year I really did really well, like really, really well, because you stopped going to every networking event, you stopped just running around, and you just sat behind your system and got work done, right? And what I realized, Vicky, is that whoever came to me, they were at the end of the cliff. I was like their last call. And that got me thinking that it shouldn't be that way. It's great for me, it's great for business, but it shouldn't be that way. How do I bring a little nudge to people, you know, that here's what you can lead your day with. Here's a thought to reflect on without doing the excess work of getting up every morning and sending a blast message on WhatsApp, on LinkedIn. How can I make it something accessible? And I did think about cards. And since most of my clients were yet from the corporate world, I said, maybe nobody's going to get up and shuffle cards and, you know, check it out. It has to be easy. It has to be in your face. And that is when the flip idea came, you know, putting it like a calendar, that it's just there in front of you. The colors are very, are across, you know, across the board, whether you're spiritually inclined, whether you're completely worldly inclined, they're just very basic, clear, beautiful colors. And then setting the intention was really fun. I sat in meditation for 2 hours. I opened up my laptop and I went, I was just typing away. It was absolutely channeled. And my intention before I wrote the intention was like, I want that when somebody opens the book, that needs to speak to them. This is not about me. I am channeling this for the people that are going to buy it, that are going to receive it as gifts. And I'm sure you might have the experience if you just flip it and you're like, oh, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. That's the little blue book story. And I think I was always meant to do this because I studied psychology and my head of department, she betted on me. She's like, you must get into counseling. You're a person, people person and all of that. And I'm like, no, I want the corporate world and all of it. And I did that entire round, but people were always one of my, you know, pocket skills. Like I could go anywhere and get work done. I could walk into any conflict and get things sorted out. It was after manifesting my last job, which was in DIFC in Dubai, the best place, anything for a person in finance is DIFC. And when I had that, I was there 6 months. And Vicky, that was it. I just didn't feel anything. I just didn't feel it. And that's when I kind of, you know, rebirthed. They say you're born once biologically, and then when you find what you want to do. And that's when the second journey began.
I love that you've mentioned that, because I think so many of us, and I can speak from my own experience as well, that we walk about numb.
Yeah.
And that's to sort of hide the negative and challenging, fearful experiences and lessons that we've been through. But it's also a coping mechanism for just getting on that hamster wheel and functioning. And I don't know about you, but when I had that kind of realization that I was numb, and sometimes, I'm not going to lie, you know, there have been pockets, even with being on this journey for the number of years that I have, there are sometimes pockets of numbness. Where it's just blank. I can't feel that attachment to what it is that I want. And before we jumped on to record this, we were talking about something that you'd manifested and how you need to know what you want. You need to know what you desire before the universe will step in and support that energetic exchange. So how can people recognize, and I know this sounds like a stupid question, but how do you recognize that you're numb, that you're non-feeling? What is that? Yeah. What did that feel like, in inverted commas, to you? What did that look like?
Vicky, your questions are so amazing, because that's the right feeling, that numbness. You know, I still remember back then we were, you know, working on Thursdays with our Fridays, and Friday, Saturday was the day off. So it was like a rule that Thursday evening, go out with your colleagues, have a little, you know, downtime. And even when I'm laughing or we're sharing a joke or we're having a good time, inverted commas, quote unquote, that numbness still existed. And that is such That is, you know, to answer your question, that is exactly what numbness is. That you're doing everything that normally you'll tick it off on paper. Yeah, I had some time with my friends. I have a good social life. I have a good family life. I have a good job, great clients, good reviews, you know, appraisals going well. But you just don't feel that joy. Mm-hmm. You just don't feel like you wake up in the morning and you're like, I love my life. Mm-hmm. That is your answer.
Yeah. And it's just, it's popped into my head that there must be people out there who felt that and then have decided, actually, I must be depressed and gone to the doctors and got antidepressants. But in actual fact, it, you know, yes, there may well be a genuine reason and requirement for antidepressants, but there must be a chunk of people who actually, you're not depressed, you're just numb.
You're just numb. And that numbness is serving you because somehow your soul knows why you're here. Your soul is going to give you that little nudge. It's going to keep tapping you. Once in a while, it's going to give you a little slap. And wake up, buddy. You're not living the life you came to live. We came here to be authentic. We came here to be real. We came here to live the way you wanted to. So all these numb moments are to just shake you up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. We, as a collective, are very good at ignoring and running away from, you know, numbness is on one end of the spectrum, right the way through all the various hardships and challenges and experiences and lessons, and from to ill health to end of relationships to, you know, losing your finances. There's so many different ways it can manifest itself. Why, when we know that there's something not right, why are we so afraid to go there, in inverted commas, to try and unpick what's wrong? Because most people will spend so long drinking through it, eating through it, shopping through it, et cetera, et cetera. What is it that we're so afraid of?
I think that this question has so many layers as an answer, because one, you might know, I might know, but many of us don't know. We think that that's what grown-up life is. You think that's what being an adult is, you know, brave it and power through it. Nobody has been telling us all our lives that, hey, your emotions are your guiding post. How you feel, dive into it. We've only been told that don't be emotional or completely suppress or overexpress. There's no middle ground. It's saying, sit down, get into a reflective practice. Every movie you see, whether it's any part of the world, what do women do, Vicky? Your day out is go drink, make some silly mistakes, scream and yell and come back. And I remember watching, telling my husband literally last night, I said, that's not what women do. Strong women are portrayed as women that don't have a life. They ill-treat men. They don't want to have kids. And maybe that's half of the story, but that's not all of it. Because that is priming our mind that that's the only thing you get to do. Work hard, party harder. No, work hard towards your anchor, your goals, your purpose. Get onto your life path.
How do we flip that round? Because that's really the essence of everything you do, all the different meditations, your coaching. So how do we almost reverse engineer? How do we start? Can you give some guidance, some tips and tools, how people can, instead of leading with their body, mind, then soul, do it soul, mind, body? Yeah.
Yes. The most easiest, and it might sound really weird, is just make that intention. Before you find a mentor or a teacher, wake up in the morning and, you know, close your eyes, whether you're offering that moment to the universe, to a God, or to your own higher self, your soul, and say, listen, today I want to live from the highest embodiment of myself, my soul, or I want to be led by, if you believe in, you know, a particular God, I want to be led by that God. I want my soul to lead, my mind to make sense of this, and then my body must just follow.
Oprah does a tweet. I need you to say that again because that was fabulous.
Okay, so you wake up every morning, take a moment, close your eyes, join your hands if you want to, place your hands in your palms, stand in front of the sea, the sun, and say, today, I just want to walk, live, think, and feel like the highest version of myself. And that's a fantastic beginning. It's so simple, Vicky. I can go back to my journal, show you the days when I've woken up and said, okay, higher self, walk with me, talk through me, feel with me, and the days that I've decided to be on my own. And they're two different days. They're like in two different dimensions, two different worlds. It changes everything. Mm-hmm. When you're walking the right side up, your soul leading, it's not a heavy density being, right? Your vision, your view is so multidimensional. You can see things, you can connect to things, you can access things with such clarity and such ease. You know, it's not that life becomes easy. Sometimes it's the contrary, because then you're like, oh my God, I'm so inauthentic. The choices I've made, the relationships I have, that breaking up from that is very tough, but it puts you in a process of ease, that there's fun in it. You wake up in the morning and you're like, oh my God, I love my life. You go to bed feeling so good.
I love this. And I have to remind myself of it, because will be an interesting question for people who are either thinking about, they're going through the process, or, you know, they're have already started a new path from a work perspective, where, like, you and I have decided, okay, we're not loving our lives, whether that's corporate, whatever work you were in, and you want to do something that feels more heart-centered, soul-centered. There is a kind of transition, a process that becomes challenging, because oftentimes you think, okay, well, if I'm living like that, and it's, yeah, I love my life, and it's fluffy, and whoa, and then you realize, actually, hold on a second, we're 6 months down the line, the clients aren't coming in, business isn't booming in the way that I wanted, and you start to lose your faith, you start to lose your trust in the process. So for people who are in that situation, how do you support that process? Because, yeah, there is a lot of letting go and trusting and releasing and being open to receiving, but there's also a lot of work involved in it too. So yes. How do you marry both of them?
I think that's the answer. You marry both of it. When, especially coaches, you know, we start accessing the laws of the universe and attraction and surrender, but surrender doesn't mean you sit and do nothing. Surrender happens when you've done everything, gone through the process, and now you're saying that I might get A person as a client, or I might get B, or I might get a different language altogether. I surrender to that. The problem with surrender and the misconception is like, okay, I'm going to sit and I'm going to manifest and everyone's going to fall into my lap. No. You're a physical being. You channel your content, your gifts, your creativity, your uniqueness. That's the energy. The mind is where it says, okay, there's such brilliance here. Let's put that into strategy. Let's put that into actionables. Let's put that into plans. Let's put that into, you know, your daily planning. That what am I doing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? What are the courses I need to learn about things I don't know? That's where the mind comes in. That's where your expertise. And then the body is supposed to get up and say, okay, morning on Monday morning, 9 a.m., I have to send my newsletter. On Tuesday morning, I need to go for a networking event. Your body's supposed to follow. So it is a marrying of the physical actionables. You know, Vicky, I say this to all the coaches that I coach, that one of my favorite words with action, because I don't connect with hard work and hustle, is relentless action. That means you get up every morning and then you pick up from where you've left. Keep those, you know, this is something I have on my desk. I have my little vision board right here of all my work, what kind of work I want to generate. So that is relentless action. At your desk, you keep things that remind you. You have your paper and pen. And when you want to visualize that, your tree can get all the sun, that's all the energy. But if you don't ground the roots, if your foundation is not grounded, you're just a balloon flying with these big, 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 awesome dreams with this amazing energy, but it's of no use.
Mm-hmm. So we should be starting our day, irrespective of anything, with, first of all, leading from the soul self. And that's how we want to embody our daily, just our day, because you take every day as a separate day, because it can become overwhelming if it's the week, the month, how in God's name am I going to, you know, create this vision for my life? But it's every day. So you then start that day, irrespective of anything. How much time do people need to spend doing this? It takes. Can they do it in their bed before they get up?
Yeah, that's the best thing, because you're in the most prime moment. You're in your dreamland and you're in the physical world. You set that intention for one, less than a minute. It takes like 30 seconds. Higher self, walk with me, talk with me, you know, think with me, feel with me, manifest with me. And that's it. Boom, your day starts. One of the other things that I would say, that's the energy part of it, the soul part of it. There is, and I say this every month, Vicky, if you've been on my Insta, if you do not plan, you fail to plan, you are inadvertently planning to fail. No matter who we are, what stage, we're beginning, we're up there. If you don't have a plan, you're going to lose time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to lose time, you're going to lose money, you're going to lose clients. And then that unfortunately leads to a stage where you lose that self-confidence.
So when you talk about a plan, because I know this is one of your babies, you are Mrs. Structure, Mrs. Love a Plan. What do you mean by a plan? Because some people listening, you know, you can say, well, I want to do this next year and I want to get this degree and I want to do this training. I want to reach 20 clients, you know, whatever your, what feels right for you. How you do your plan? Is it a month by month thing? Is it big goals? How do you break it down?
So I am a fanatic of the word SOP, you know, coming from operations, standard operating procedure. For me, it is systematic operating procedure. So what I start with is I create a theme word for me. So for my 2022, my theme word for work was repetitive wealth. If I did one course, I wanted to repeat and repeat and repeat the income from it. So if I recorded one meditation, and at that week, if 10 people bought it, I would ensure that I'm talking about it till I reached 100. So that was my theme word, right? So you pick up a theme word. For somebody, it could be passive income. For somebody, it could be, you know, high ticket clients, whatever it is. You pick up a theme word. And then from that, you draw three or four ways that you can create it. Three or four ways that connect to your target audience that you already have that access to. And then you have one that you say, okay, I don't have access to this, but let's put it there, because we don't want to go out of space and then there's absolutely no bridge to connect you. So you say, I already work with these, great. And I want to work with these set of clients and offer one to three things and then expand into this realm as well. Mm-hmm. Then you go into the planning of the quarterly basis, saying that, okay, quarter one, two, three, four, what does it look like? If you don't know what it looks like, don't bother. Like, I don't plan my quarters. I plan my theme word, and then I just go month by month. Then the fun part is to plan your days, and not in a monotonous way. Vicky, I woke up at 10 a.m. today.
Loving your work.
Exactly. Like, I plan, and I tell my parents, they laugh at me because I wasn't like that as a kid. But my planning is so meticulous that I have more free time than the days I don't plan. So your Monday, your Tuesday, you just keep it as massive categories. And then you have the smaller things that you want to do every day. Like for me, every day I want to put a story on my Instagram. But a reel, I know it takes a lot of time and energy and do your hair and dress up well. So that goes on a day like today, a Friday, where I know there's nothing much. So I'll just stand and do 5-6 reels, save it in my inbox, in drafts, and it's done. I'll spend the Saturday, Sundays for massive content creation, sitting in my PJs and all of it. So then when, if suppose somebody cancels out a client, personal client or something, your day is like just sitting and chilling. And by the end of the week, you've gotten so much of work done. Mm-hmm.
And this, I guess, can also work for people who are not wanting to do it from business. This can work on a personal basis as well.
Absolutely.
You know, so you can set a theme for 2023 from a personal perspective, and that could be whether it's love, it could be your health, your family.
Can I share with you my 2023 theme word? So when I teach this, there is work theme, and then you have your life theme. So my life theme word is exquisite. I want 2023 to be an exquisite experience. Mm-hmm.
That's right? Such an underused word.
Yes, and it's so beautiful, right?
Ah, it's such a powerful word.
So the fun part is, you know, Vicky, is when we bring that, I wouldn't say it, planning not to hold you, but planning just to keep a little bit of structure. Yeah. Because now here's the science to it. every time you try to make a decision, you use the frontal cortex of your brain. That's the bigger section of your brain. So guess what? There's more energy. If you're not started on the good, you know, you've got too much of work, you're going to drain your energy. You're going to feel tired. You're going to feel overwhelmed. And then you can't show up in that, you know, magical zing that you have hidden beneath you. So if you spend, I do this, you know, I used to do it. I don't do it a lot now. On a weekend, I would go out to a cafe, spend 2 hours and plan the entire week. 90% of the time, I'd not follow that plan. I'm being honest. I never follow the plan, but that practice got me thinking. And I would plan to the details of what food am I cooking for my family through the week. So then you go one day, you pick up all your groceries, you get up in the morning, you're not like, what do I cook today? You're like, done. Now, what do I wear today? Done. If you know you're doing a video, you know when you're going to have to do your, you know, get your hair done, have a hair wash, do whatever, mask in your hair. Everything is just leading you. So the lesser decisions you make in a day, the more work you get done. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because there's so much of our life is structured out with our control that we probably feel that we just want to not have anything else structured in our life. But the reality is it's not going to work otherwise. You know, there's you have to structure some free time to allow you to just switch off and go with the flow. But that even that has to be structured, if that makes any sense, which is it's the counterintuitive part of life, I guess, is that to excel and to flow and to flow forward and to be in that state of flow, you still have to have it in some kind of structured container, which is the universe loves a contradiction. We are that is going back to that marrying the energetic and the physical side of life. I could talk to you forever. I love it.
Yeah, when you say structure the fun, it's very important to structure anything between 10 minutes to 2 hours a day for joy time. When you do something that truly brings joy, you remember we spoke about bringing the right side up, it automatically comes to the right side up. So for me, my joy time is morning 30 minutes and then anything post 9 p.m. So either I'll go down to the beach, I'll go down to the marina, or I'll catch up with some friends for, you know, a late evening, a chat or a walk or some tea, whatever. But that is a fix, Vicky, because when you have joy every day, you're not depending on someone to say, you know, oh, no, they didn't notice I cut my hair. Oh, no, they didn't say this. And oh, no, they didn't say, because that can, then you're taking everything, your happiness, your joy, everything about you and, you know, giving it to others and saying, okay, do you see me? Do you hear me? Do you value me? Mm-hmm. But if you know, and then you go and access joy every day, oh man, you're powerful at all.
That is probably the most simple and the best takeaway from this entire podcast. And that's always the case. Simple things are the best. We don't do that. We don't do that. But, and we live in a society where we hand over everything. We hand away all of our power. And I totally agree with you. Just before we wrap up, I wanted to talk to you because I know that you talk about using the subconscious mind and energy to resolve limiting beliefs. Now, I just want to kind of touch on that. What do you mean by that?
So your subconscious is storing, is like the biggest encyclopedia of everything you've seen, you've heard, or you've experienced, even energetically. Like, for example, if you are living in a place where your neighbors are constantly fighting, you've not seen it, you've not been part of it, but your energy has received it in your aura. So it still creates a trauma response. So when you start manifesting and say, okay, I want to get to this, or I want to have a kind of relationship that has all these beautiful values attached, and if you feel iffy inside or you just can't attract it, there's something within you that completely negates what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And the most easiest way to look at that, Vicky, is look at repetitive patterns in your life.
So what do you mean by that?
So when people are changing jobs, but they result in the same toxic environment, same toxic boss, same toxic, you know, colleagues, or you're in relationships, everything starts well, but it goes down the same road, that's an indicator of a repetitive cycle. Mm-hmm. And that is an invitation to go inside you and say, what in my energy, in my subconscious, is creating these invitations and magnetism of the same thing over and over again, through a different person, through a different office, through a different country. You know, so many of us run away mm-hmm. from, you know, houses, relationships, people, thinking that I'm going to give myself a fresh start. My loves, your fresh start is inward. Go inside, clean slate.
Oh my God, I love that. Yes. Guilty. Guilty as charged.
Been there. Can only talk about it because I've been there.
Yeah. Which is wonderful. So it's being aware. I mean, these are all self-awareness journeys. And the more you understand yourself, the easier your life flows. But that's the difficult bit is having the guts and the confidence and the vulnerability and the courage to actually just say, stop. It's literally just stopping and asking yourself, what in my subconscious is making me repeat these patterns? And it's as simple as that.
And sometimes your subconscious is not going to answer you because you're asking. These are things you will see when you meditate.
Okay.
Meditation is beyond, you know, your square breathing or your chanting. It's accessing that information within. It's accessing, it's, you know, shutting the conscious mind and seeing. When I do personal sessions, Vicky, people think the problem is one thing. And when we go into the subconscious, it's something really odd that they heard when they were like just born, 30 minutes born. They heard something and boom, that's created like this big seed of fear, of unworthiness, of you're not good enough, right in there. And all the life is just unraveling and building branches to that seed saying, oh, not good enough, not good enough, just because they were a sibling or just because, you know, something happened that was not even to them. It was not even directed to them. It was a conversation in the hallway, parents, relatives talking about it. And that's how the subconscious, it just absorbs. It doesn't ask you.
So to access that and to access that information through meditation, is this a silent meditation or is this a guided meditation?
It's a guided meditation because then you're allowing a teacher to walk with your energy, see what is there. Many people fall asleep in such sessions because we're going so deep, and then unroot those energies and replace it with something absolutely beautiful.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time, Kim. I love your energy. Even though we are halfway around the world, it is coming through loud and clear. So thank you so much for your time. I will put all the information and how you can connect with Kim into the show notes. But just while we're on the podcast, if anybody is inspired to work with you under all the various guises, how can they connect with you?
Very easy. Go to the website. It's www.miemind.com. Go ahead and scroll to the page, the second page, which is a free energy reading where I will channel your soul messages. And then we start the process because for me, I don't believe I know everything, but I definitely know I can hear the soul. So I channel the soul message and then she says, start here, start there. And that's where we start the work.
I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. And if you'd like to connect with me, then head over to my website, vickipaul.com, or you can find me on Instagram at @VickyJPaul. Why not take advantage of a special subscriber-only 10% discount off my personalised soul portraits? All you need to do is get in touch using the promo code PODCAST21. That's PODCAST21. And don't forget, you can buy my book, How to Be Successful, available anywhere that you buy books, or you can also get it via the link in the show notes. Make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And please continue to share this podcast with anyone you think might find it useful. I'd also really love if you could write a review because that helps myself and my guests get discovered by more kindred spirits. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.